The Lost Troop, Logar, Afghanistan. We had a dry spell in Logar. It was February, during which the weather was dog shit, so a degree of slowness was expected. But this went beyond slowness. It was like peace had broken out, and nobody told us. Nights we'd meet in the ops hut for the mission brief. We'd tune the flat screens to the drones over Ghazni, Organ, and Coast, only to find all three orbiting within the same cloud. We'd listen to static on the UHF. We'd stare at phones that never rang. We might have left it all behind, walked off the outpost and into the desert, never to be seen again. We might have created the legend of the lost troop. Rather, we chose some place where we imagined the enemy might be hiding, a compound on the banks of the Helmand River, a brake shop in downtown Marja, a cave high in the Hindu Kush, and we ventured out there, hoping for a fight. I thought of the Japanese soldiers on Iwo Jima, who, when their island fell to the Americans, may not have known that their island had fallen, who, not long after, may not have heard that A-bombs had destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and that their emperor had admitted defeat. Those soldiers hid in tunnels on Iwo for weeks after the war was over, for months even. For them, the fight continued in those dark and narrow spaces until they ran out of food, until they drank the last of their water, until, absent the means and or the will to take their own lives, they climbed out of rat holes into the sun to wander warm fields of lava rock in surrender. I wondered what it would take for us, if one night we'd drop out of the starry sky in our blacked-out helicopters near a walled compound in the desert. We'd run toward that compound with the rotor wash at our backs, pushing us into the dust cloud that had been kicked up by our arrival and out the other side. Passing through a crooked archway in the compound's outer wall, we'd enter the courtyard. And there, among the fig trees and goats, we'd find an American tourist with a camera strapped around his neck. Having served his time in Afghanistan, our fellow American had gone home, fallen in love, gotten married, and had the two bow-headed daughters now hiding behind his legs. Maybe he'd wanted his girls to see how brightly the stars shone in the desert. Maybe he'd wanted to share with them all the strange places the army had sent him way back when. I imagine that he'd look at us with understanding and remorse. Dudes, war's over. But as far as we knew, it wasn't. Therefore, we'd meet in the ops hut every night at 8. In the absence of new intelligence, we'd review old intelligence. We'd double-check dead ends and re-examine cold cases. Finding nothing mission-worthy, Hal, our troop chief, would open the floor to suggestions. It'd be quiet for a while everyone thought. "Come on," Hal would say. He'd be standing in the middle of the plywood room. We'd be sitting on plywood tables, balancing on busted swivel chairs, leaning against the thin walls. Drones, orbiting inside moonlit thunderheads, would beam their emerald visions back to us. Lightning would strike 20 miles away and the UHF would crackle. I, for one, didn't have any good ideas to offer. One night, Digger spoke up. "Who remembers that graveyard decorated like a used car lot out in Coast?" I raised my hand, along with a few others. "I think we need to go back there," Digger said. The graveyard in question was on the northern rim of a dusty crater. We patrolled past it a few weeks prior on an easterly course. The used car lot decorations were plastic strands of multicolored pennants. One end of each strand was tied high in an ash tree that stood at the center of the graveyard. The other ends were staked into the hard ground outside the circle of graves. The graves themselves were piles of stone, shaped like overturned rowboats. I couldn't recall the name of our mission that night, its task and purpose, its outcome, but that graveyard stuck with me. I remembered the pennants snapping in the wind, dust parting around the graves like current. Digger, who'd passed closer to the graveyard than I, thought the graves had looked suspicious. He believed they resembled old cellar doors, the type, I imagined, you'd find outside a farmhouse in Nebraska, the type you'd run to from darkened fields as a tornado was bearing down. Digger postulated that at least one of those graves...